From atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for March 27th. In the year of our Lord, 2021, this is our 2 of 2, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. The good Sheriff Richard Mack joins us from the road today. Welcome back, sir.
Hey, Sam. How's it going?
Excellent, sir. Where are you?
I was taking my phone off of the speaker. So anyway, thanks for having me this beautiful Saturday morning.
You're absolutely welcome, sir. So where are you now?
Well, I flew into Albany, and I'm up in the hills of some area that I don't even remember the name of it. Some good people are having a big rally here, a seminar, and I'm speaking. It starts at 11 Eastern time. And so, anyway, flew in last night, and this is supposed to be really well attended. It's getting a lot of attention, and several public officials have committed to be here. We'll see how it does. But even if it's just a bunch of people, I shouldn't say just, even if it's we the people in this local area that are trying to get something done and trying to spread the word about the responsibilities and powers of the sheriff, well, so be it. That's what we're doing, and we're going to keep spreading that word until we can't do it anymore, until they make it illegal.
Well, it's half illegal. In Hawaii, it's kind of illegal. They started arresting people and beating people up. We're kind of having a similar issue. This is in what, New York, though?
Yeah, this is New York. And, I got to tell you about when I landed. The National Guard is guarding the hallways and telling everyone they have to fill out a COVID-19 form. And they have tables and pens and papers for you to fill out, and you have to put all your information there, and you have to swear that you don't have COVID or that you haven't been around COVID or whatnot. I couldn't follow it very well, so I just put a few numbers there that nobody could read, kind of quickly signed my name that you can't read that either, and I put the paper in the box, and I went on my way. So it was from the New York Health Department, but people in uniform from the National Guard were the ones ordering people to do it.
All right. The headline says this relating to the point you're making right now, Sheriff Mack. NY, that's New York National Guard, adds troops to airport screening. Yeah, National Guard News brings this to us. This is serious.
Yeah, it is. I was shocked because I'd just been to New York 6 months ago during the summer, and Sheriff Carpinelli was taking me around, and we had a big rally at the state capitol, and that's when some Antifa and BLM people showed up. And I remember telling you about that because the Patriots, supposedly, who were in the crowd, started pushing the Black Lives Matter people around and surrounding them and threatening them. And we were the ones who were out of line, and I kept yelling at them to stop it and leave the people alone. And about half of the people listened to me, and about half of them did not. But to see now, because I went through that airport fine, no problem, no National Guard, but now there's National Guard troops at every terminal and every exit out of the terminals.
All right, well, I don't exactly know how to respond to this, ladies and gentlemen. Let me just kind of tell you. The New York National Guard has screened more than 450,000 airline passengers since starting a mission to help the New York State Department of Health limit the spread of COVID-19. Now listen, 500 soldiers and airmen are now helping health department officials collect health data at 12 airports across the state of New York. Yeah. So there you have it now. You literally not only have Washington, D.C. and the Capitol surrounded by, what, razor wire? You've literally got National Guard sleeping in parking garages in the nation's capital. And now you've got troops literally helping the TSA, of all people, literally, I don't know what you want to call it, violate the people's rights. But now you've got literally soldiers everywhere, Sheriff.
Yeah, I saw them, and I said, what in the world? I thought they were recruiting at first, because I saw the tables, and I saw them, and they loudly announce when you're walking through, come over to these tables and get your forms. You know, and seriously, I was thinking about just continue to walk out. And in fact, the next time, I'm just going to keep walking and see what they say. If they try to detain me, I said, so you're detaining me to fill out a form? You know, so what? If I don't fill out the form, am I going to get arrested? You know, so I'm going to ask that next time. So on my way home tomorrow,
you're not going to get arrested yet, Sheriff. You're not going to get arrested yet because they're slowly but surely ratcheting this up. They're going to be gentle with you at first, my friend. But over time, yes, they will arrest you. And they're setting the stage for this to happen. So not only are they using New York as an incredible testbed, a liberal bastion where Cuomo is literally upping the National Guard presence, okay? But then you got Hawaii. They're literally getting ex-cops to form a group of people that would work for the government to enforce the coronavirus restrictions, to enforce mask wearing, to enforce you got to have a vaccine, to enforce that you've got a social distance, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, but it gets worse because the American people love it, Sheriff. And what they're doing is, in my opinion, they're floating these trial balloons. And these trial balloons are to determine where the public is on such things. And if the public's with them, they're going to go hog on us all. So here's the latest headline. Glassdoor did the research. So I don't know if you know what Glassdoor is, but Glassdoor is a website that tracks employees across the nation. And they track employee salaries and employee satisfaction and all this kind of stuff. Anyway, it's called Glassdoor. Glassdoor just did a big research study, and it came back. 70% of employees want COVID-19 vaccines required to return to the offices, survey shows. So now they're basically engaging the public, and the public wants to force vaccines, buddy. And so if they force vaccines, then that next comes, well, we've all taken the vaccines and, you know, we've required it to go back to work. And by golly, now what we got to do is we got to, you know what, not only do I have you fill out a form, but you got to show your vax card, Sheriff. And if you don't, you simply cannot fly. And so it'll first be, you know, cruises. Second, it'll be airlines. Then it'll be expanded to other transportation associated with the TSA, buses and et cetera, et cetera. And then where will it go from here? They are backing into this in a very tyrannical way. And if you speak out against it, you're a domestic threat. You got that? That's where they're headed, my friend.
Sounds like it. It sounds very third worldish. I mean, troops guarding the airports and troops guarding and making sure you're filling out your forms. And I mean, that's as third world banana republic as you can get. And congratulations, Democrats. You've achieved third world status. So,
and they would
I'm not blaming just the Democrats, but mostly the Democrats on this one.
What we really need to do, Sheriff, is find out how to fix the environment that you've ruined now. That's our next goal.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that one. Yeah.
Yeah, see, buddy, we got you coming and going. You're getting hit by traffic going both directions. You don't know what to do. But I'll tell you this right now. The biggest problem is not only the environment, not only you're going to kill everybody with a cocoa, but your guns have got to stop, too.
Oh, of course. Yeah, you know that. I mean, they tried to do it right when the COVID hit, when the coronavirus was the coronavirus instead of COVID-19, right at the beginning. Yeah, they were trying to take guns at the beginning, but now there's mass shootings every other day, and so that'll do it a lot better.
The question becomes with all these mass shootings is how many of them are literally spontaneous shootings by mentally ill individuals, like they say? Or how many of them have government provocateurs somehow in the mix, have psychotropic drugs somehow in the mix, have, you know, you kind of wonder how many are, I don't know if I dare use that Manchurian candidate term, but how many of them are kind of led to this kind of on a primrose path idea. You kind of wonder what the real status of those things are. And I don't know any way that you can really get to the bottom of it without subpoenaing information, but good luck in court. They'll just say you don't have standing. Done. Next.
Yeah, I'm afraid you're right. And the whole thing seems to be so Gestapo-ish. And every day we're seeing something new on that. And I thought it was going to start getting better. Sam,
what are you thinking?
We just elected.
Hold on. We just elected Kamala Harris, a flat-out lady with complete ties to communism, sir. And Joe just simply said, hey, she's in charge, man, everywhere.
Yeah, and then somebody in the, what was it, the, what department said that Kamala Harris was not in charge of the border? Some other agency came out. I think it was Homeland Security. They came out and said
but Biden said she
wrong.
Is. Wait a minute, Biden wrong, who's right? Who's running this here deal? Sadly, the answer is the communists, and we're surprised when it gets tyrannical. All right, hang tight, the good Sheriff Richard Mack and Sam Bushman. Live on your radio.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
All right, back to the Alive, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bushman of the good Sheriff Richard Mack on your radio. So literally Cuomo upping National Guard presence as the National Guard soldiers are literally making sure you fill out your COVID-19 forms when you get off the plane and on, 12 airports in New York is what we're talking about right now. And it's growing at an alarming rate. 70% of Americans, 70% of employees want the COVID vaccine required to return to the office. And now, Sheriff, the question is being asked, can the government and can private employers mandate vaccines? And the short answer on both is yes.
Now, why do you say yes?
Because that's what government is saying. That's what the courts are saying. Well, that's what past precedents is saying. That's what employer law is saying, etc., right?
Yeah, but I don't believe that applies. Well, I don't believe that applies in one.
Yeah, you're not relevant. You need to go to jail.
Okay. Yeah, I probably will. Maybe not right. on this issue, but on not filling out my next
yeah.
form.
But that's kind of the problem here. They're not following the law, Sheriff. This is what I'm trying to get at. They're not following the law. They're just saying that's the way we think it to be.
Of course. But I believe in any employee will have absolute irrefutable legal recourse against any employer who makes this rule after their original contract and agreement. They can grandfather people in, but I don't believe there's any way that you can fire somebody who refuses to do something that wasn't originally in their contract or agreement of employment. I think most of them will have a heyday with that, because the only way a judge could rule the opposite direction is if they said, well, because of the community need being so drastic and because this is such an emergency, we're going to allow employers to go ahead and violate their own contracts with their employees. That's the only way that the human interest and human need of this is so absolutely drastic that they'll go ahead and let them violate the Constitution and the contract laws of those people. Otherwise, they can make it. They can make it a rule for employment to say you must be vaccinated to get this job. So, well, I'm not going to. Well, you're not getting this job then. Goodbye. We'll get somebody who will. I believe that's ruthless and cruel and mean, but I don't believe it's against the law.
Well, you're absolutely right if you want to talk about facts of laws, but what they're doing in America now is they're obliterating the checks and balances, and they're literally just saying we think it to be there for its law. And if you try to challenge it, they say you don't have standing. We're not going to touch that with a 10-foot pole. So now lawmakers are literally calling on Joe Biden to make COVID-19 vaccinations mandatory. And see, he's not even the right branch of government to make law, but they want him to do it anyway. And 70% of the American people want that to happen. They want employers to force that to be the case. So now you're going to get the private sector forcing it, big business forcing it, publicly traded companies forcing it, the president of the United States enforcing it, to where we're not even looking at the lawmaking bodies for these mandates, sir.
Yeah. Well, and two other things happened to me yesterday. One, the guy that picked me up, Will Tryon, took me to a grocery store, and I picked up a few vegetables and fruits and stuff to snack on in my room. And they were offering paper bags. And I said, if I ask for a plastic bag, are you going to have me arrested? And he says, no, but those are against the law now, so we don't even have them. And it's a matter of choice if you have a paper bag. If you don't need one, we prefer you don't take any. But if you need a paper bag, then you can have one. So both my driver and I took a paper bag. So I was kind of looking at, what, are they going to now arrest people for trying to use plastic bags? And then out in the parking lot, we were complaining about that and complaining about the mask. And a lady overheard us, and she says, yes, I hate these blankety-blank things, too. And yesterday I was at the bank and using the ATM, and they came out and told me that I had to wear a mask when she was outside on the ATM, Sam. And there was nobody near her. And so she said, so you're going to force me or arrest me or something like that to have a mask on outside on an ATM? And they said yes.
Do you know what they're going to start
to
do,
don't
you?
Okay. So, yeah, well, this is what the lady said. Okay, I'll put on a mask, and I'm going to go in and do my banking inside because I'm withdrawing the $20,000 and canceling my account with you stupid people. And so she did. She's smart,
but here's what they're going to start saying. They're going to start saying to you, you can't get your money out or do business with your bank if you don't have a mask, if you don't have your vaccination, if you don't have your...
You wore it.
They're literally going down that road, buddy. That's where they're headed.
Yep.
And I know some people would say, Sam, this program is just too negative. And my response is, if I'm providing the warning bell for Americans to stand up and stand up now, make a valiant stand and do it now, and I'm telling you how tyrannical it's becoming, and I'm warning about that ahead of time, am I the negative one?
Well, exposing negativity can be, you can be accused of being negative when you're exposing negativity, but I believe exposing the truth like that helps us better be prepared for what's coming. And I'm not going to tell all the bad things about government. Isn't that what we're supposed to be doing? Isn't that the purpose of freedom of the press?
It used to be, but now I'm not sure. The American people are literally starting to go against everything that I hold dear. 70% want employers to mandate vaccinations before people can return to work. Okay, this is pretty soon the government's just saying we're doing what the people want, Sheriff. What are you talking about?
Yeah. Yeah, we're just helping. We're taking care of people and making them safer. Isn't that what we're supposed to do? And Sam, I'm wondering if they can make an argument for that by using the Declaration of Independence. We're here protecting life. Yes, we're not doing too well on protecting liberty, but what's good liberty going to do if you're all sick? So we're protecting life by making all of you stay safe, whether you like it or not. And you can't pursue happiness if you're all lying in bed sick. So is that the argument they're going to make? Because
they're simply going to say those who won't take vaccines are playing Russian roulette with society's safety.
Right. So I can't wait to see the first film of cops hogtying somebody and injecting them with the COVID-19 vaccination.
See, I don't think they're going to do it that way, though. That's just too hostile. That isn't the peaceful communist way, buddy.
Yeah, but sooner or later, it's got to come to that.
No, all we got to do is tie up financial issues.
Yeah, but that's the only way you and I are going to take it. I don't see you and me taking it any other way.
Yeah, but what if they force you financially? What if they just simply say you can't have access to any money and you can't conduct any transactions unless you have the CocoVax card?
Yeah, I've considered that, and that's why we better have good food storage. And, you know, that's the reason the church has told us for 100 years to have food storage.
Certainly be one of them. And I'm not, you know, saying that really Richard Mack is any problem. I'm saying all of us are like this, though. You know, what are you going to do? They probably won't hold you down and force the jab, but they will probably make it inconvenient. I mean, there's literally colleges now saying you can't come back to college unless you get your vax card, Sheriff.
Yeah, well, it's a long way to Tipperary, man.
What's your speech in New York going to be about today?
Oh, it's my same presentation. You know, the Constitution for citizens, the Constitution for law enforcement, the law, my normal presentation, starting off with, you know what? This is really funny. You know, this video clip from YouTube that I put on my presentation about Deputy Stan Lenick. Well, do you remember where that happened?
Which one is this?
Deputy Stan Lenick, when he stood up for those people.
Oh, yeah, it happened in New York at the airport.
It happened in Albany, and I'm in Albany, and I turned that on to try to test the system last night, and people, as soon as they saw the reporter, go, "Hey, she's from Albany. I watch her all the time." "Oh, there's another reporter from Albany." I go, "I forgot completely that this happened right here."
Well, there are people standing up for the sacred cause of liberty, and that is the positive takeaway. I'll tell you that right now. The sheriff with me, Sheriff Richard Mack, on the road in Albany and surrounding areas, New York now, coming to you live on Liberty Roundtable.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News
with Mike Fortier.
Justice will not be swift for the Colorado shooting suspect. Boulder County District Attorney Michael Daugherty saying yesterday that the trial of Ahmad Elisa will likely take at least a year. Daugherty also giving an update on the investigation.
The investigation is progressing rapidly. All the agencies involved and committed to ensuring justice is done have been working incredibly hard day and night, as they will throughout the weekend, to make sure that all the information that can be learned about the shooter, the victims, the witnesses, King Supers, any connection between all of those becomes known.
The 21-year-old Elisa charged with 10 counts of first-degree murder for Monday shooting at a Boulder grocery store. More charges pending. Today marks the fifth day a stuck container ship is blocking shipping in the Suez Canal in Egypt. At least two attempts planned today to free the ship. If unsuccessful, the ship could remain stuck until Monday when a rising spring tide could free it. This is USA Radio News.
Hello, this is Wayne Allyn for our newest sponsor, Asset Strategies, or ASI for short. ASI is a precious metals powerhouse. They sell gold and silver. Never in history has there been a more important moment to buy gold and silver. ASI has been in business for 39 years. They've served over 20,000 clients and sold $5 billion worth of gold, silver, and precious metals with zero complaints. Last year, gold saw gains of 25%. Silver nearly doubled gold's performance. Now Democrats are in charge. Green New Deal, open borders, free healthcare for illegals, bail out broke cities and states. The debt is about to go through the stratosphere. The time to buy is now. The owners of ASI, Michael and Rich Chekin, have been my close personal friends for 16 years. ASI is the company I trust when it comes to buying and selling precious metals. Call now to receive a free consultation and a free 1 ounce silver eagle with every qualifying purchase when you mention the Wayne Allyn Root Show. Call 800-831-0007. That's 800-831-0007. Or visit assetstrategies.com.
All students could be back in classrooms by the end of the year. Education Secretary Miguel Cardona saying this week his goal is for 100% of schools to offer in-person learning as soon as this fall.
You know, the goal really is to provide in-person learning options for as many students as possible, as quickly as possible, and as safely as possible. And we know we can do it. There are examples across the country where it can be done. And that is our goal. Pre-K through 8, definitely, but we're not leaving out our high schoolers who also need to be a part of that school community and engage with their peers and their teachers.
Cardona on ABC's The View yesterday. He also says it will not be mandatory for everyone to be vaccinated before reentering schools. Three more states, Kansas, Minnesota, and South Carolina, announcing yesterday they'll allow residents 16 and older to get vaccinated next week. Meanwhile, former CDC Director Dr. Robert Redfield telling CNN yesterday it's his opinion the virus started when it escaped from a lab in China. The WHO, though, calling that extremely unlikely. They maintain the virus started in bats before spreading to humans. This is USA Radio News.
All right, back to be alive, ladies and gentlemen. The good Sheriff Richard Mack with us on the road. He's in the surrounding area of Albany, New York now. And he gives a presentation about the sacred cause of liberty, about one's oath of office, about what proper peace officers should be doing. And one of the case point examples that he uses is Stan Lenick, who was from Albany, New York, who in an airport defended the citizenry from abuse from, the TSA, pretty much. The bottom line is, now he's in Albany giving a speech, and he was kind of highlighting a couple things like that, and they're like, hey, we know these people. It just goes to show that even in the most liberal of places, good, honest people could stand up to protect liberty, Sheriff.
Yeah, it is, and it's kind of fun that as many times as I've shown that thing in the last 7 or 8 years, that finally ended up in its own backyard. I said, oh, yeah, this is Albany, isn't it? So I think it's going to have a special effect for me today when I start it with that, because people are really going to recognize it as being from their own town. So anyway, I can't wait to do it. People are already coming in. Registration technically starts in about 15 minutes.
And you really need to let people know that across the country, Sheriff, in all of your speeches right now, you need to let people know that people are willingly starting to push for mandated vaccines. 70% of employees want vaccinations mandated in the workplace before they come back to the office. That's not government. That's the people. And you could say, well, that research is wrong, Sam. My response is, okay, challenge it. Go do your own research, report back, and let me know. Until we have, this is Glassdoor. They may be liberals in promoting the agenda. Who knows? But until you have another definitive study to challenge it, that's what they're claiming. So now the point is this. Somebody says, hey, Doc, will I need proof that I got the COVID-19 vaccine? And the headline says, you may actually need a COVID vaccine passport to travel in 2021. So they're gearing up for it, sir. They're setting the stage for this all to be the case, whether it be colleges or stores or, you know, the same mask mandates. They're going to say, we want evidence that you're not playing Russian roulette with the citizenry regarding the COVID-19 virus. Now, I want to quickly contrast this with what I talked about first hour. There's a John Hopkins School of Medicine professor, Dr. Marty Makary. He blasted the government, Fauci, and many others for creating a crying wolf scenario. Basically, you know what? They've lost credibility. They've cried wolf and made this pandemic seem so out of control, concerning, and it hasn't turned out that way to where they've lost credibility. Also, former CDC director Robert Redfield said COVID-19 did come from a Wuhan lab, and it started months earlier than we knew. He's blatantly saying that as well now. Okay, people are starting to push back, Sheriff, in very unique places, and that's what I think needs to happen to deal with these tyrannical leanings of those whom we've let lord over us these days. We've got to start pushing back, not in belligerent, crazy ways, not in violent ways,
right,
but in direct,
right,
peaceful, do you dare say Martin Luther King-esque ways, in civil disobedience ways? We have got to start to stand up, or what's going to happen? Where are we going to go? And when 70% of the population is literally calling for mandated vaccines, I don't see how we can stop that, a train, unless we really get rolling.
Well, if you take the analysis from John Adams in his book, he said to his wife that a third of the people supported freedom and liberty in the war, a third were completely apathetic and didn't care, and one third stayed on the side of King George III. It looks like that statistic, 70%, let's just say it was off by 4%, so 66% want the vaccine and a third still don't. It looks like maybe there's some more apathy that could be happening in there. But let's say, okay, two-thirds of American people want me not to do it. A third to fight back, if we do it in mass, is enough. And we could win that easy. But the American people of that third, of that one-third, of that 33%, we have got to push back, just like you're saying. And it's got to be strong, it's got to be powerful, and it's got to be peaceful. And I think you're absolutely correct. We must stand together, singing the hymns, as we did in Oregon for the Hammonds. And we've got to show everybody that, you see, they're trying to brand us right now as being violent and racist. And so we got to make sure everybody knows that we're not when we get out there, and we're hand in hand with our brothers and sisters of the Black community, Hispanic community, Asian, Native American. And we need all of us together to do that. And I think we could win it.
I know we can win it. The only hesitation I have a little bit is, number one, we've got to be organized. And if they take away most of our tools, it's going to be very hard to get as organized as we want to and need to be. That's number one. Number two, I'm a little fearful they'll throw agent provocateurs into the mix to derail everything we do. For example, Donald Trump literally had 1 million-plus people at a peaceful rally in Washington, D.C., and now they've literally whittled that down to everyone's an insurrectionist and a terrorist who is even thinking about attending. Glad you weren't even thinking about it, Sheriff.
Yeah, well, I thought about going to the January 6th rally for Trump.
Uh-oh, we better round you up then,
sir. But every time I thought about it, I said, no way. I mean, I tried to consider any positive about it, and I just didn't see anything positive about it. Nothing. I don't see a rally for Trump when he's got 2 weeks left in his presidency. I don't see that as being reasonable or effective. If you're gonna call for an investigation, that's what he should have done. He should have ordered an investigation the day after the election. But he waited too long for that, and If he was going to declare the Insurrection Act, he should have done that a lot sooner. I didn't see any of it being necessary or beneficial to anyone. And then when you add in to all the loonies from across the country that you know are going to be there, and especially the ones that are close to Washington, D.C., then absolutely not, Sam. No way.
You're right about that. How do we prevent agent provocateurs from derailing our peaceful intent?
Yeah, you don't. And you hopefully get a good investigation to expose it. But the way our media is today, they're part of it. And so you don't. But you still take your stand, and you stand strong. And you keep pushing back, no matter what it costs. You've got to push back.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is serious. We've got a lot of work to do. The good sheriff's right. We've got to work on it. And I think one of the best ways for us to organize, Sheriff, and the best ways for us to work on this is to involve ourselves with trusted, peaceful, organized groups already. So when you're with the John Birch Society, if you're with the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association, if you're with the Family Research Council, if you're with Liberty Council, if you're with a lot of these peaceful, you know, proven peaceful groups who do their due diligence and do it right. People's Rights is another group. Ammon Bundy and crew doing a good job, in my opinion. The more organized we are and the more vocal and the more public we present in peaceful ways, the better. Because if we say, hey, we've had 46 rallies and they've all been peaceful except for this one where some crazies went psychotic, then we stand a pretty good chance at controlling the narrative on that. On the other hand, if we don't affiliate with organized groups, if we just try to do a lot of things on our own, I think it can backfire quite quickly. For example, Mark Zuckerberg, that's the Facebook CEO, don't you know? He gave $350 million, not to a political candidate, Sheriff, but directly to government-paid election officials in hand-picked Democrat strongholds to increase targeted voter turnout. That's what we discovered in the latest hearings where he went and testified before Congress. We've uncovered that reality check. Mark Zuckerberg gave $350 million specifically to target Democratic districts for voter turnout, sir. Do you want to respond to that? I mean, that is shocking.
Yeah, well, I guess he's free to put his money where he wants to, even if it looks as corrupt as it obviously is. But here again, you can follow the money trail. And with him and his cronies at Twitter and LinkedIn and all the others that are controlling our country right now, these are the people controlling our country right now, at least in part. And the money behind it, if you take Zuckerberg and all the others that are there, and hate to say it, but Apple and the billionaires of the world and George Soros, they're the ones putting the money into all of this.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have Sheriff A.J. Lauterbach from Texas talking about the border breaches and Biden and his communique to the illegals. We'll be discussing that on Wednesday. Sheriff Mack, myself, and A.J. Lauterbach will be there discussing it together. Thank you, Sheriff. Speak. Be safe. We'll talk soon.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family.
Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org. Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better having a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Sam Bushman back with you live. Final segment of the broadcast today. The good sheriff had to take off and gear up for a speech in Albany, New York. So he's, anyway, he'll be with us next Wednesday. We're going to have Sheriff A.J. Lauterbach from Texas, along with the good Sheriff Richard Mack, talking about the border, talking about what sheriffs could do. Sheriffs are becoming the bellwether alarm system, saying, you know what, we got a problem. We got a crisis at the border. So we'll be updating you on that coming up Wednesday on the broadcast. So Mark Zuckerberg, CEO of Facebook, gave $350 million, not to a specific political candidate, but rather directly to government-paid public officials. They're election officials, and he did it to hand-pick Democrat locations in an effort to sway the outcome of elections. All right, stronghold in Democrat areas to, what do they call it? Encourage voter turnout? Yeah. To increase what they call targeted voter turnout. Now, I agree with the good sheriff that Mark Zuckerberg can give his money to whomever he chooses. It's his money. But the problem is the government officials taking that money, to me, seems like partisan politics, conflict of interest, criminal intent, the whole litany of concerns, in my opinion, manifest themselves there, to say the least. So that's the kind of situation we're dealing with in terms of money. Now, they say that H.R. 1, that's the bill designed to try to deal with this election stuff. They say it'll only add insult to injury. H.R. 1 will undermine our elections and will make these problems significantly worse. H.R. 1 is designed to put Democrats in power for every future election in America. We must stop this legislative piece in the Senate immediately, says Matt Staver of Liberty Council, LC.org, doing a great job. Thought I'd bring that to your attention. All right, I want to switch gears entirely for the last story of the hour, brought to you in part by Raw Honey, delivered directly to your door. To learn more, get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com, or smile and dial. You can call or text 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. You can email Kurt at LibertyRoundtable.com. You can call or text 801-669-2211. You can go to his website, check it out, localhoneyman.com. That's localhoneyman.com. All right, the final story of the hour, totally switching gears. As you know, the Biden administration is doubling down on vaccines, doubling down on gun control, and doubling down on environmental issues. So the headline from the mainstream press, can the grid handle a boom in electric cars? USA Today writes this piece. And I believe they're not honest with the American people on this at all, folks. Now, I've joked about this over the years, but I'm deadly serious, even though I joke. You know, folks, it's amazing to me that we're using corn for our fuel. And I say, that'll be really great. We'll use all the corn for our fuel and you'll drive around hungry. It's just a little joke to kind of highlight, in my opinion. Look, why would we take our food and turn it into fuel? But there you have it. Well, now they're doing a similar thing when it comes to our electricity. All right, so they say, do we have enough electricity to power the coming flood of electric vehicles? Can the grid handle a boom in electric cars? USA Today. And they say the answer is clearly yes. They say, yes, we do, but the details matter. First, they say, don't be snowed by automakers, seemingly giving you daily announcements of EVS. What is that? Electronic vehicles? Is that what it stands for? All right, they want you to believe that, hey, the electric vehicles are everywhere. The vast majority of vehicles, ladies and gentlemen, built, sold, and especially currently driven in the United States, will continue to use internal combustion engines for years to come. EVS is what they call them, are growing fast, and the technology does improve every day. That's all true. If you don't see them on the road regularly now, odds are that you will soon, they say. And they use a lot of electricity. The 88 kilowatt, KWH battery. Yeah, kilowatt battery, 88 kilowatt battery that can carry a rear drive Mustang 300 miles. So let me explain this to you carefully. The 88 kilowatt battery that could run a Ford Mustang for 300 miles could power a modest house for several days. Of course, they say depending on the time of year and other variables. Now, do you understand what they just told you? They just told you that a 88 kilowatt battery that runs a car, and we're talking about a Mustang, it's not a huge car, the amount of electricity that it takes to move that car 300 miles is what it takes to run your house, your modest house, for several days, depending on the time of year and other variables, meaning how much heat you need, etc., right? Do you need AC? What do you need? A single commercial DC fast charger, the kind that uses 400 to 800 volts and can charge a vehicle in 20 to 40 minutes, can draw as much power as 50 homes. That's according to the Department of Energy. Think about that. That worries some people, and not without good reason. I'm one of them, folks. They feel like we're trading a reasonably reliable source of petroleum energy for something that's of unknown cost, unknown stability with electricity. Relax, the experts say. Well, now you know there's trouble. When the experts tell you to relax and they deny any trouble, they don't smell a rat in Denmark. You know that it's bad, folks. They say the U.S. has more than enough electricity, more than enough electrical generating capacity to power every ES or EVS or electronic vehicle to hit the road through 2028. Now, according to a recent study by the Department of Energy, the electric grid, they say, is well-equipped to supply the power for EVS now and in the near term. Said Samantha Houston, she is vehicles analyst at the Union of Concerned Scientists. She says it's a non-issue. A 2020 report by the Department of Energy concludes through 2028, we're okay. The overall power system from generating power transmission looks healthy up to about 24 million electronic vehicles. That's 16 times the roughly 1.5 million operating in the U.S. today currently. They say the transition to electric vehicles will take place over many years, said Rob Philcole. He's general manager of sustainable energy, supply, and reliability at General Motors, right? He says automakers are working with the utility companies to optimize the electricity usage and delivery. The key is for electric vehicle owners to do most of their charging at night, they say. I think this is a flat-out lie, but we'll go on. When a lot of the electricity-generating capacity that already exists is currently idle overnight. Detroit-based utility company charged about 15,000 electric vehicles in southeast Michigan and about 22,000 across the state. They say about 90% of charging takes place outside of peak hours, generally between 11 p. and 7 a. Residential users can sign up for a discounted rate during the nighttime period. Anyway, then they go on and they say 11 cents a kilowatt under the special plan compared with 24 cents the rest of the day per kilowatt hour. They say charging at roadside commercial facilities will cost more. How much varies? It depends on the location, just like your gasoline does. Yeah. They say there are thousands of megawatts that are online during the day and offline at night that can charge a lot of electronic vehicles. Optimizing timing, in other words, off-peak charging, is the key to this exercise, they say. Now, let me stop you there. What about grid busting peaks? They say, don't worry, utilities are upgrading their facilities to handle that. I submit to you that it's a complete lie. Let me tell you how I know it's a complete lie. You think that Texas had an ice storm that required people to use more electricity and therefore, boom, we trashed the grid in Texas? You think it'd be better if you literally put a car that needs to go 300 miles and it could run a home for several days of electricity? You think putting those cars on that grid is going to help? We have plenty of capacity. The Texans might disagree. They might not even need an ice storm to go offline. What about the California and other rolling blackouts that have occurred over the last many, many years? Every summer, people crank up their ACs in the middle of the day, and whoa, boom, the grid crashes or rolling brownouts and blackouts occur across the state. Boom, bada boom, boom, boom. Any storm that downs trees takes out electricity. You think that putting these cars, I mean, these things suck power like you would not believe. Literally to go 300 miles in my car is like a several days amount of electricity that could run my home. And we're going to double down and use less electricity. And I bring up concerns and they look at me as the experts and say, it's a non-issue, Sam. Wait a minute, aren't we taking coal-fired power plants down left and right, replacing it with non-sustainable energy solutions? Aren't we right now, we're not ready for the grid to handle way more usage. Not even close. And to say we are is dishonest with the people. You say, well, timing matters, Sam. We have the capacity at night. Yeah. And what guarantees that everybody's going to charge their cars at night? What guarantees that you can balance all that electricity? Well, we're working on it, Sam. You're not going to work on it by shutting down all the coal-fired power plants and going to wind or going to hydro or going to solar. That ain't working. Just ask the Texans. Just ask the California brownout blackout people. Folks, this is psychotic. But it seems like everything in society we're doing these days is psychotic, huh? All right, hopefully the 2 hours were full of news and educational information to help you go out in the world and make a difference. Please do it. Please get involved. Please make it a great day. Please choose the right. Please donate at libertyroundtable.com or lovingliberty.net. We declare we the people, along with the grace of the Almighty, we can and will restore America. This nation shall endure. God save the Republic.